Good day, everyone, and welcome to Phoenix Solar's conference call with the presentation of the financial figures for the second quarter, 2010. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Dr. Andreas Hähnel, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Solar AG. I also like to welcome Mrs. Sabine Kauper, Chief Financial Officer, in today's conference call. Mr. Hähnel, you may now begin.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Andreas Hähnel. I'm the CEO of Phoenix Solar, and I'm going to present you the second quarter results. All of you should have access to the second quarter presentation, which I'm going to flip through on the screen. Well, on page 3, the key results of the second quarter 2010 in the summary. So overall, we have seen the strongest quarters ever in the group history. We have seen partly dramatic increases in revenue, EBIT, EBIT margin, and net results. Just for an example, 145% in revenues and a jump from 0.1 million euros of EBIT to 22.3 million in the second quarter 2010. Also, a significant improvement in the earnings per share from 17 cents in the second quarter 2009 to 2.38 euros by the end of the second quarter. As usual, I'd like to continue with some overview about the module sales situation. We have seen a significant increase of module sales compared to the previous year. In a quarter-on-quarter, in a year-on-year comparison, we have an improvement of 268% in terms of megawatts sold, from 38 megawatt Q2 2009 to 140 megawatt Q2 2010. Also, this is the best quarter ever, and it even surpasses significantly the fourth quarter 2009, where 110 megawatts sold were the best value we have achieved before. Also, on an H1 comparison, 2010-2009, the volumes are up 234% from 53 megawatts 2009 to 177 megawatts in 2010, which is already in total 88% of the total module sales of 2009. In summary, Phoenix has sold in the last couple of years more than 600 megawatt cumulated module sales. Let's move on to the financials on page 7. On the left-hand side, you see the annual development of the revenues 2006 to 2009. On the right-hand side, you can see the quarterly values. With a particular comparison first and second quarter with 2009 values. As I already mentioned, the revenues are up on a basis in comparison to second quarter 2009 by 145 to the record value of 283.6 million, the strongest sales quarter ever in the company's history. Also, the international sales have improved quite substantially in comparison compared to the second quarter 2009, moving up from 3.5 million euro to 37.3 million. This is a more than tenfold increase in comparison to the previous years, and amounts to a 13.2% share of international sales in the first half 2010. If we move on to the EBIT situation on page 8, we see a similar situation, very strong second quarter with total EBIT of 22.3 million euros, which is a 22.2 million euros increase compared to the previous years. It's the strongest quarter ever in the group history. The strongest quarter so far was the third quarter 2008 with the Spanish project situation, which we could surpass easily in the second quarter 2010. And the earnings per share, which I mentioned, 2.38, which is much higher than what we have achieved in the previous year. If you have a look at the EBIT margins, the EBIT margin in the second quarter has increased over the value of the first quarter. It's quite high, with 7.9% EBIT margin, above the long-term average target value of Phoenix Solar, which is 6%. On comparing first half 2009 and 2010, we have achieved a total EBIT of 27 million euro, which translates into an EBIT margin of 7.4%. If now trying to split into the particular segments, you know that Phoenix has two segments. One segment is the components and systems segments, which is our wholesale trade business. The second one is the power plant business. And let's have a look first at the components and systems business. Within first quarter and second quarter 2010, basically we have two record quarters in a row, leading in both cases to very high EBIT margins. Also, the EBIT margin in the second quarter came in at 9.8%, which is by far above the long-term expected value for this segment. It shows that the market and the demand was strong, and also very good margins could be achieved. So, well, at the end of the day, also for this particular segment, it's the best quarter ever in terms of sales and EBIT. If we move on to the power plant segment, there we have a little bit moderate picture. We have seen in a quarter-on-quarter comparison a significant improvement in terms of EBIT. This was negative in the first quarter, but has improved by almost 10 million euro in the second quarter 2010 to 6.5 million euro. Nonetheless, the EBIT margin with 5.3% is below the EBIT margin of the components and systems business. And the reason is mainly that we have seen quite flat module pricing development since the fourth quarter 2009 up to date, only slight decreases of the range of 0 to 7%, which leads as a consequence to lower margins, in particular in the German business, because in the beginning of 2010 the feed-in tariffs in Germany for large-scale ground-mounted systems have been lowered by 11%, which were not compensated on the level of the modules. If we move on to the order backlog, we also see a quite nice development compared to 2009, a 56% increase in order backlog to 282 million euro. However, if we deduct those revenues which have already been booked to Q1 and Q2, there is a free total order backlog of 156 million euro, which is also well above the value of 129 million euros which we had in the previous years. The free order backlog is dominated almost as usual by components and systems. However, we have a couple of power plant projects in several European countries under final negotiation. So just to reflect that this was the situation by the end of June 2010. Now coming on to balance sheet issues, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Sabine Kauper, the CFO of Phoenix Solar AG.
Thank you, Andreas. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to give you some more information concerning our balance sheet, our working capital and cash flow situation. This quarter, our balance sheet is mainly affected by expected cuts in feed-in tariffs on July 1st, 2010, resulting in the fact that many projects had to be finished by the end of June. So our current assets show an increase from 172.9 million to 247.1 million, mainly caused by growing receivables from long-term construction contracts. Trade receivables show 38.3 million. Our inventory shows a volume of 86.0 million. Compared to the first quarter, we were able to reduce our inventory from 144.6 to this 86 million euros. Let's take a look at our liabilities and shareholders' equity. Shareholders' equity adds up to a total of 115.5 million, what also and again represents a strong equity base. Not including our capital increase, arranged in July with a further volume of about 21 million euro. Current liabilities also show an increase from 81.9 million to 135.9 million, with trade payables amounting to 67.1 million, with 22 million liabilities for goods in transit and 45.1 liabilities for subcontractors and suppliers. Our other non-financial liabilities amount to 23.7 million, including 13.3 million liabilities for VAT. Let's now switch over to the working capital analysis. Working capital adds up to 113.1 million in contrast to 92.8 million by the end of 2009. The decrease of working capital ratio from 19.6% to 16.5% is mainly caused by the denominator of the ratio, which is the revenue for the last four quarters with 684.5 million. The last topic I would like to inform you about is the operating cash flow. Our operating cash flow is negative with 28.2 million. In spite of the fact we were able to push the running down of inventories from about 144 million for the first quarter to 86 million euro in the second quarter, cash flow became negative for the cutoff date, mainly caused by an increase of receivables from long-term construction contracts, caused by the already mentioned completion of many projects by the end of the second quarter. Thank you for your attention. I would like to hand over to Andreas Hedl again.
Okay, thank you, Sabine. Then we move on to the third topic of today's conference call, which is the feed-in tariff changes, its impact on Phoenix Solar and growth drivers going forward in the second half 2010 and 2011. On page 16, 17, and 18, you have a detailed overview about the changes of the EEG. I don't run through this. I think most of you are familiar with the situation. The others could read it through yourselves. It's getting more and more complicated, this German Renewable Energy Act. Nonetheless, I'd like to move on to page 19 immediately to discuss a little bit the impacts on Phoenix Solar, which haven't too much changed from what I presented in the first quarter results 2010. We now have a split of additional cuts, typically adding up to a maximum of 16% for roof-mounted systems. The expectation, which I think in the meantime also some of you guys do share, is that we will see a market in the second half 2010 which can be almost as strong as the one which we have seen in the first half. And the main reason for that is also we see only limited price reduction on none. We still see comparatively reasonable and high returns for end customers, which are in the range of 6 to 8%, which makes an investment in solar photovoltaic power plants still attractive. As Phoenix is doing the majority of its business on roofs through the components and systems business, this is an issue which, as already reflected in the Q2 results, it has further potential to grow. As far as power plants business is concerned, I'd like to draw your attention to the situation that we have a grace period, which lasts until the end of December 2010. If the land use approval has been secured before the 25th March 2010, then a couple of projects will be or can be installed to the year end, and this is what we are actively using. So we have currently some double-digit megawatt projects under final negotiations in order to cope with that particular situation. Now, what are the growth drivers if you move on to page 20? So the growth drivers which I see is, or let's say, the market expectation. We have seen a very, very strong demand in H1 2010, 3.4 gigawatt. That's the preliminary announcements of the Bundesnetzagentur. So I think around 3 gigawatt can be expected also for the second half 2010, with an expected weak Q3 and a strong Q4, weak Q3, very simple because we have pull-in effects into the second quarter. We have really exhausted salespeople and exhausted installers who take some weeks off now. It's vacation period in Europe anyway. Try to catch someone in Italy in August. It's really not very simple because they're all on the beach. So that means Q3 is going to be comparatively weak. But from September onwards, we do expect that we will see the market kicking in again, leading to a strong year-end rally in the fourth quarter, also due to the fact that in the beginning of 2010, there's a high likelihood that the feed-in cuts will be around 13% again, which will stimulate the market development. Finally, we also do see good development in other European markets, particularly Italy, France, Greece, Spain, and Eastern Europe. I think this is a very positive development. We haven't been able to satisfy all the demands and needs of our subsidiaries outside Germany in the first half of 2010, so they have more potential now to get what they're looking for in the second half. But I also have a quite positive view on 2011 under the assumption that we see the 3 gigawatt in the second half 2010. I do expect that in principle all manufacturers should have enough potential to lower the prices on 1st January 2011 to the level which is requested to compensate for the German feed-in tariff development. And if this is the case, the margin stays almost in the same range like the ones in 2010. And for that reason, I do see a clear market in Germany 2011, which can be in the ballpark of the one in 2010. Another argument which I think can stimulate the market development in Germany 2011 is that in 2011 we will have again discussions on the EEG in general. So that means for all renewables, but surely also for photovoltaics. And this can also stimulate the market development 2011. And we've also quite positive view finally on the market developments outside Germany, strong focus on France and Italy, but I think also other markets will gain more momentum in 2011. So that makes me believe that the world market is going to grow next year, that the German market can be flat or will be flat, but overall we will see additional growth in 2011. Now, just to highlight, so that's page 22, highlight what we have achieved in the second quarter and partly also in the third quarter. Page 22 highlights some project contracts which we have published. There are also some others which we haven't published, but those are the ones which we did. And we have made announcements in 3 months only of more than 50 megawatts for projects both in Germany and in Italy. So the Italian projects total, those which have been made public, amounted to 8.5 megawatt peak, and the rest for Germany. And in the second half of 2010, as I mentioned, we will see one or the other projects in other markets except Germany and Italy. The module supply situation, we have signed a long-term contract with Mia Soleil back in April, providing us significant volumes from this new CIGS Synthom supplier. We have 4.5 megawatts which have already been delivered in the second quarter 2010, and we have already negotiated and discussed very substantial volume improvements for 2011. Two issues I think are worth mentioning from the capital markets perspective. One is the annual general meeting, which took place in June 2010. There we got the approval from the General Assembly of the 20 cents per share dividend payment. This has been already issued a day later. And in July 2010, what Sabine has already mentioned, we issued a 670,200 new shares with a placement price of €32, which led to total proceeds of €21.5 million. It was a good time to do this capital increase because the capital increase was several times oversubscribed, and we do need these proceeds or part of these proceeds to finance our market entry into the U.S. And this market entry has finally been announced in August 2010. So basically, we're starting final operational activities beginning of September 2010. We have hired two high-level executives coming from the solar industry, which have a strong focus on the project business, which is essential because we're starting and we intend to start with project business in the United States. So I think we have good guys there in order to keep the project and the business going in the United States. 24 shows you an overview about our current presence. So we are now on four continents and 9 countries, and the latest newcomer is the operations in California, Phoenix Solar Inc. in the United States. Let me move on and almost conclude with the guidance. So the guidance has been issued on the 7th of July 2010, so it's just one month back, with sales expectations of 660 to 700 million euro, EBIT 36 to 40 million euro, and 20% international sales. Well, I have already been asked why we haven't modified and adapted the guidance, so simply it's just 4 weeks old. I think it's more helpful to wait how the third quarter finally develops, and then we're going to revisit the guidance probably at the point of the Q3 results. But surely at the end of the day, more than 50% of the sales expectations and more than two-thirds of the EBIT expectations for 2010 have already been achieved. Okay, let's summarize and come to conclusions. So we have seen with the second quarter the strongest quarter in group history, both in sales and EBIT. I believe that our international sales development is on track with what we have achieved in the first half 2010, and we have already very good position in terms of sales and EBIT as far as our guidance targets for 2010 are concerned. So overall, we do expect a strong profitable growth for 2010 and significantly increasing international sales. So I thank you very much for your attention. I am at the end of my introduction, and I'd like to open the floor for your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A period. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9* on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9* again. As a courtesy to those individuals seeking to ask a question, we kindly ask all participants to limit themselves to 2 questions. And the first question comes from Robert Schramm from Commerzbank. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon, and congratulations on a great quarter. I want to know one thing from a little calculation I want to outline. You had a 5 million euros EBIT in Q1, another 22 in Q2, and when I assume a 5% operating margin on the portion of the backlog which is for delivery in the coming months, then I get another 8 million euros. So together, that brings me to 35 million euros EBIT, compared to the lower end of guidance, which is just 36 million euros. So my question from there would be, is it wrong to assume such a kind of profitability for the backlog? Or is it really, or how much conservatism did you apply in not raising the guidance right now, which I think you could easily have done? And the second question I want to do is on the international revenue share. From your press release, I conclude that about 30% of the components business order backlog is international,
mm-hmm.
and about 28% of the power plants business is international.
Mm-hmm.
Is that representative, the around 30% international revenue share, is that representative about the future or H2 for Phoenix compared to just 12% international revenue share in H1?
Okay. The first question, guidance, yes, I think you're probably not the only one assuming that the guidance is potentially conservative, but as I try to highlight in the conference call, we'd like to wait and see how the third quarter development and then revisit the guidance. And also the second reason why we haven't made some changes immediately now, because we have only issued the guidance just 4 weeks ago. So I think that we don't want to change guidance every month. So please wait. I think it generally looks good, but nonetheless, I think it's helpful to wait a couple of weeks ago and see how the third quarter is moving.
Can I just interrupt you?
Yeah.
So was your original guidance, did anything really change over the past month, or were you just trying to be very conservative in your original guidance?
Well, when we did it on July, it was in the framework of our realistic case expectations. I personally like to say that I have been positively surprised by the EBIT development in June. So surely this is not fully reflected in the initial guidance, but please understand, of course, you know that Phoenix is conservative, and this led to the conclusion that we didn't immediately make any changes to the guidance.
Okay.
So your second question is, yes, your calculation, first of all, is right with a much higher percentage of international sales. I think that's also important because we have achieved 20.4% international sales in the first half, and we have guided 20%, so nonetheless, we definitely have to do more in international sales in the second half. And I think this is possible for various reasons. The German market is a bit more relaxed now compared to what we have seen in Q2. So those colleagues in the international subsidiaries, which couldn't get all those products which they needed in order to satisfy their customers, have now much more potential to have access to products in the third and in the fourth quarter. That's what they're actively using, and we have seen a great shift to international sales in July and August so far. It's, of course, as I said, on a lower level than in Q2 and a higher level than on Q1, but at the end of the day, there's a clear shift to the international sales. And what I personally think is a positive development, we don't only see this on the power plant business, similar to the situation in 2008 and 2007, which was mainly driven by international sales, and then again mainly driven by international sales in the power plant business in Spain. We now see that the internationalization is driven by both segments. So both components and systems and also power plants, they deliver on international sales, and I think that's a good sign.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Rupesh Madlani from Barclays Capital. May we have your question, please?
Good afternoon. Rupesh Madlani from Barclays Capital. Two questions, please. First, with respect to the negative cash flow for the quarter, does this reflect that milestone payments on some of the longer-term contracts have been less favorable, and have you been more generous on terms? And second, could you comment on your expectations for the U.S. market this year and perhaps your global market expectations for PV demand going into 2011?
Okay. Sabine is going to answer the cash flow question and I the market question.
Yes, okay. Concerning the cash flow, the fact that the majority of power plant projects at the construction stage in the second quarter had to be completed by the end of June in order to accommodate to change conditions of feed-in tariffs exerted a major influence on the cash flow. So cash inflow from the final invoicing of these projects will therefore take place in a period through the next reporting date. You can say this is a cut-off problem with this negative cash flow because of the fact that we had to push to finish all the projects by the end of June.
Sure. So it sounds like just a seasonal. It's a seasonal. This isn't a trend. It's just a seasonal effect from completing projects that we should expect to see reverse in the following quarter.
Yes.
Great.
Okay, Rupesh, to your second question, U.S. market expectations of Phoenix around 800 to 900 megawatts this year. However, clear point I'd like to make is we're starting the operations there. We're doing projects business there. You know yourself the lead times which you have in project business, so that's quite long. In the U.S. it's particularly long, so that means there will be no revenue contribution expected from the United States this year, first contribution next year, and approximately 20% contribution to the 1.5 billion euro target of Phoenix in the year 2013. Next year, we do expect that the market is surely being above 1 gigawatt, between 1 and 2. And the global market expectation for next year, that was a question for 2011. We do believe that the market is going to grow. We see probably a flat German market and increasing foreign markets. So 12 to 14 gigawatt, maybe even a bit more for 2011, we don't consider as unrealistic.
That sounds very reasonable. Great answers. Thank you.
The next question comes from Katerina Kolova from WestLB. May we have your question, please?
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is rather general. What are the key drivers behind the margins in the component and systems business? Because I understand that you said that the margins in Q1 were exceptionally high, but I don't understand why, in general, the margins were lower in the second quarter after the first quarter, because sales volumes were much lower in the first one. And the second question is, can you give us an update on the expected costs for the U.S. office for the second half, please?
Okay, so as far as the drivers for the components and systems business is concerned, and also this particular development that with lower revenues, the margins were higher in the first quarter. in the first quarter call, I think I announced that in the second quarter they're probably going to be lower in the one high one-digit range, and this now materializes. One of the reasons is, and I think that's the most important one, you know, this rebate program of First Solar, and so you ask for the rebates and you get them at a certain point of time, and you can't fully control when you get it in one or the other quarter. So that means if you get a big bunch of rebates booked into a particular quarter, you have higher profits and higher EBIT margins, and probably in the next quarter it's a little bit lower, and I think that's the main explanation of this situation. Nonetheless, the basis is that margins are high, or they have been high, definitely high. They have been higher than the long-term expected average, and I expect them to decline in the second half 2010, because margins above 10% in the components and systems segment long-term, I think, are not really healthy. So as far as the cost of the U.S. office is concerned, yes, we are in the starting phase. We have hired the first executives, so they are trying to open up the business and operate it and hire first people. So we're talking about, let's say, around $1 to $2 million in the first, in the second half 2010. But first, and additional costs may arise as soon as first payments have to be made for the project business in the United States. This is not clearly to be identified, so we can't say that first project rights will be acquired in December or November or January next year, but we have set aside some loan facilities for the U.S. subsidiary, which will allow us to jump in whenever further financial requirements on the project business do occur.
So sorry, did I miss a number? Did you say something on the how much the personnel will cost, the new staff, then excluding any additional costs on projects? So what will be the bottom of the cost, will the lower range?
Well, in the 1 to 2 million in that range, it depends if you hire the people right in time, fast enough, if you get the operations quick enough up and running, then of course the startup costs will be higher. If it takes a longer time to hire additional people, then surely the costs will be lower. So there is something in the business case. However, how it's going to materialize, that's going to develop in the next couple of months.
All right. Thank you.
The next question comes from Sebastian Grover from Equinet. May we have your question, please?
Yes, hello, Sebastian Grover from Equinet. Good afternoon, everybody. Two questions, one on the pricing side, one on the volume side. Pricing first, maybe. We heard this morning from SolarWorld that the CFO is expecting only a slight quarter-on-quarter reduction in pricing. Maybe you can just share your view with us what your price indication could be in the second half, and if you could divide that by Q3, Q4, that would be really appreciated. And the second one on the volumes, a split question, so to say. So the first one is, I'm just picking up on what you said before, that you have several projects in Europe under negotiation. Maybe you can give us the number behind these negotiation volumes. And on the secondly, then on the volume side, you had a total volume of 170 and a little bit megawatts in the first half. And if I remember it correctly, you said roughly 50-50 could be the split between volumes first half and the second half. So that would bring me to 350 megawatts in total. Could you confirm that number, please, or do you see a slowdown in the second half?
Yeah. So as far as the pricing situation is concerned, you know that the picture is not unique. We know from some German manufacturers that have announced a pricing decline of up to 8% starting in the third quarter 2010. But we know also from other players that we have to face a price increase due to higher wafer costs, wafer shortages, and maybe also exchange rate issues. So at the end of the day, it's not a fully clear picture. It depends on the manufacturer you're talking to. So let's assume that overall it's going to be flat to the year end, given the demand situation which we expect for Q3 and Q4. We have been cautious in sourcing too much material for Q3 because of the expected slowdown in July and August. Some more products are going to turn in the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. And as far as the pricing situation towards the end customer is concerned, I think the prices have to go down a little bit, which puts some pressure on the margins. but I think not too much given the actual demand situation, which can't be satisfied for the time being. So I think quite flat more or less. Nonetheless, and I made a point in the call, I think beginning of next year, it will not be possible that customers will be willing to absorb all additional cuts, and I think we should see some movements from the manufacturers lowering the prices at the level or in the ballpark of the 13% feed-in tariff reduction next year in order to maintain the German market. As far as the Phoenix volume is concerned, yes, 177 megawatts in the first half, 88% of the total volume of 2009. I think that's a great number. And when I said approximately 50-50 split first and second half, I think another, well, a value above 300 megawatt, I think from today's perspective, should be feasible. If it's 310 or 340 at of the end of the day, that will depend of availability of products. So that's not clearly to be said from the, for the time being, but I think there's a high likelihood that they're going to surpass the 300 megawatts.
Mm-hmm. And on the question as regards the project under negotiation, could you put a number?
No, many, but we're talking about projects in Greece, in Slovakia, in Germany, in France, in Spain, in Italy, just to give you an idea about where we're currently trying to sign contracts.
But it obviously will sum up to several double-digit megawatts, I guess.
It will sum up to double-digit megawatts, definitely, yes.
Mm, all right.
The next question comes from Jim Fontanelli from RT. May we have your question, please?
Yeah, afternoon, Andreas. I just wanted to talk, maybe follow up on the last, in terms of your sourcing thought process for the second half. You mentioned availability of product as potentially a limiting factor, you know, to get 300 plus. How are you dealing with that availability issue? Because, you know, we can hear from numerous conference calls over the last couple of weeks that you know, all the main solar module suppliers are pretty much booked out into, you know, pretty much the second half of the fourth quarter. So do you have confidence that there's still flexibility in the market for the next quarter and a half, or are you essentially locked down for that and that's what you'll be shipping?
Well, very simple. We have secured in the quantities which we need towards the year end. Of course, there's always some uncertainty. There will be delays in module deliveries. There will be requests to, I don't know, sending out different products than those which have been offered. This is a procedure which we know very well. That's nothing new for us. We have experienced that situation since 2004. With some three quarters in 2009 where this wasn't the case, but that's general procedure. So we have to try to find a good workaround and find solutions with the manufacturers in case we see some changes. In parallel to that, we are of course trying to see whether we get some additional products on the spot market from our existing suppliers and try to add this up to the portfolio or try to add this up to the volume which we have secured so far. So at the end of the day, the guidance is well secured on the basis of the products which we have locked in. And when we see the market demand is existing, we are willing to take additional products when available.
And would you say, you mentioned, you know, 300 plus megawatts, the number for the year. Would you say that the low end of, you know, you said 300 to 340, you say the low end of that is contractually locked in and that, you know, getting up to 340 would necessitate, you know, movement in the spot market or freeing up some incremental supply from...
Now, the one which is secured is higher than the 300. It's closer to the well, it's maybe around 220, 230, but there is always some uncertainty. What secured in the PV business really means, you know that from history, if the supply manufacturer comes and says, okay, I concluded the contract, but I can't deliver because I don't get wafers or whatsoever, and I have problems with getting products out of my production line, then what do you do? So you have to take into account some uncertainties. If they do not come, of course, we are all happy and we can do more, but if they materialize, this is also partly reflected in the guidance. This is just the lessons learned from previous years, which we try to reflect in going forward in the business which we are doing to the year end.
Okay, that's fair enough. And in terms of opening up, you've made some strides over the last few quarters to open up your supplier base in terms of, you know, modules and inverters. Is that ongoing, or are you set in terms of this year for for your supply list?
Well, for 2011, we're always looking for new suppliers. That's a standard procedure. Nonetheless, I think we have quite high-level and good quality suppliers, and with some of them we are in a position to discuss significant increased volumes 2011 over 2010. So if it's not necessary, we're not going to expand. So the real newcomer is Mia Soleil. With those guys, we have a long-term perspective, and we're talking about high two-digit megawatt volumes for 2011, and this is materializing. I think we have substantial new volumes available for 2011. So I think overall that looks good, and 2011, it's still an open question whether we're going to see oversupply. I think there's a high likelihood that this is going to occur, and then I hope that we will see some reasonable development and reaction on the manufacturing side and a learning process out of what we have seen in 2009 in order to make sure that 2011 is going to be a great year.
Okay, and maybe just a quick follow-up on that volume commentary around, you know, locking in, there was 220 to 230 megawatts for the second half. I mean, given that, and I understand you're building in a level of caution to forecasting and you know, your willingness to kind of talk about margins for the second half, but, you know, it looked as though, you know, you could, certainly from the sourcing side, quite comfortably match, you know, even with supply issues, quite comfortably match what you shipped in the first half. I'm just wondering what specifically you see as the margin risk factors in the second half, because clearly that's what's being implied.
Well, the margin risk factor is very simple. We see prices for modules moving up, and partly moving up, and we see prices on the market for end customers slowly moving down. So they are not willing to accept and absorb the full feed-in tariff reduction, and if one going up and the other one is going down, you have lower margins. As I said, the 9.8 or 14.3% EBIT margin in the component system segment are no long-term margins. They are well above our long-term expectation for that one, and I think we see a couple of percent maybe going down in the second half.
And for power plants?
It depends which projects are going to be finally signed. So I hope that we can keep at the end of the day the margins which we currently have.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Mr. Sean McLaughlin from Piper Jaffray, may we have your question, please?
Good afternoon. I have two questions. Could you confirm that the available order book is for 2010 project delivery?
Answer, yes.
Great. And in terms of supply constraints, we've talked about modules and inverters. I mean, how do you see that developing in H2, and what impact could it have on your business? And are there any other component shortages that we should be aware of?
Well, we see the inverters shortage slowly resolving, which from our point of view is also an indicator that either the supply for the module as inverter manufacturers has improved, which is highly likely, but at the same time also that the demand in July and August is not compared to what we have seen in May and June, so which is fully in line with our expectation. In the module supply situation, we still have mainly the pricing issue. We have also rejected module volumes where we believe that the pricing is too high, so we could have had more volumes, but at the same time, we would have had a margin problem due to the situation that the prices were too high. So there are volumes on the market, and I think there is some likelihood that going forward into September, maybe in October, some additional spot market volumes may be available. It can't be confirmed yet, but I don't want to exclude it. So we have to work around a little bit. The picture is not really clear. In the second half, it was completely unclear how third quarter is developing. So we have been cautious as far as Q3 is concerned. And I think we secured what we need in order to get the guidance, and we use upside potential whenever possible.
Thanks. If I could add a very quick follow-up. I mean, how has your level of order flow been so far in Q3, given the weak Germany?
Well, we have in the components and systems business, we currently have limitations of availability of products because projects, or let's say modules, have been reserved and locked in for projects which are due to be started very soon. But again, as I pointed out, from September onwards, the volumes turning in will be higher. So I think then also components and systems can do more sales than they currently can do.
Thank you.
Mr. Götz Fischbeck from BHF Bank. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. I have actually two questions. One, could you actually help us a little bit on your order backlog that you have from the international business? In total, that sums up to some 80 million euros. Could you give us there a geographic split where most of that demand comes from? That would be the first question. And the second question relates to the project business. You write in your quarterly report on page 22 that you expect the majority of your power plant business in the second half to be actually related to international markets. Yet when I look to your order book, out of the 156 million of free order book for the power plant, just 50 million relates to international projects already booked. So how do I consolidate those two pieces of information?
First question, order booklog international says 80 million euros. That's mainly targeting our main European markets, France, Italy, but also Spain, and to a lower extent, Greece. There are also some projects in from Czech Republic, so it's a little bit of wider spread. This is some contracts which we have from components and systems business. There's some projects in from Asia, but not too much, and surely nothing from the United States so far. As far as the power plants business is concerned, yes, we're talking about 30 June 2010, so we are in the middle of August in the meantime. We are discussing and finally negotiating a couple of projects in the countries which I've already mentioned. So these are about to be signed in the very near future to be realized starting by the end of Q3 and Q4, and those projects which are already in the order backlog, they have already been started in Q2 or beginning of Q3. So that's an ongoing process. So that means we can take in projects probably up to the beginning of October or end of October, which then can be realized by the end of the year.
But we're not talking about actually the fact that perhaps actually projects in international market would be financially more attractive and you would divert volumes which so far have been reserved for potential projects in Germany to international markets, or is that also an option you're looking into right now?
Yes, of course we do, but we are not pure margin hunters. You know that a couple of companies did this in 2008 and they had to suffer in 2009 when they were heading for Spain with the high margins and then they neglected the German markets. We are not that one. We always try to maintain our main markets, which is Germany. So this will include that we do projects abroad in France, in Italy, in Greece, in other regions in Eastern Europe. But we also concentrate on continuing doing business in Germany at a reduced volume compared to what we have done in H1 because of the deadline 30 June. But nonetheless, we will do one or the other project in Germany as well. So we're very well advanced with a 10 megawatt project in Germany, for example, which is about to be realized by the end of the year. So it will be a mixture of projects anyway between international and German projects.
And just finally on that issue, I mean, how do the margins in the project business compare on an international basis to the German basis if we now talk about, you know, what's potentially available in the second half? Are there major differences, or would you say at the end of the day it's not such a huge spread between the individual markets?
The spread is not as large as it has been a couple of years ago. We see more and more a normalization of the pricing environment. Going to Southern Europe, this has been expected for quite a while. This is the case. So the margins have a tendency to be higher compared to the German market, but not the Spanish situation of 2008.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Mehdi Hosseini from SFG, may we have your question, please?
Yes, thank you. Dr. Andreas, two questions. If you could please elaborate on the IRRs or your view on IRRs for next year, especially in the light of the decline in subsidies and what we're hearing from some of your module vendors that the module ASPs could remain as strong into 2011. And I have a follow-up question.
Okay. IRRs for 2011, you always have to differentiate between end customer IRRs, which have to be in the ballpark of 6-8%. And let's say the return expectations in the large-scale power plant business. I'm not fully agreeing with the point you made that the ASPs are going to be flat in 2011. We are in the final phase of securing substantial three-digit megawatt volumes for 2011 with substantial price reductions. which can compensate the feed-in cuts 1st January 2011. So this is a question of negotiation, and definitely all contracts haven't been concluded for 2011 yet. There will be negotiations going forward surely until September, October, this year's time frame, in order to make sure how the pricing situation for next year is going to be. And we have further suppliers with high two-digit volumes of megawatt that we've seen a very substantial reduction of prices. So it's not an overview about all our suppliers, but at least the overview which I have, and where we are close to securing prices, we do see a favorable reduction of pricing environment, which then may have a direct impact on the situation of the business in 2011, in particular on the German market, and lead to a quite flat market 2011 compared to 2010. If you have a particular look at the large-scale project business in Germany and the project business abroad, I think in Germany we in the meantime have a feed-in tariff situation which is already highly difficult because it's extremely low. Also very low compared to the feed-in tariffs which we have in foreign countries. My belief is that with the cuts we're going to see beginning of next year, which are at the end of the day two cuts at the same time, because the cuts on the 1st of July 2007 hasn't really materialized for large-scale installations, because most of them are going to be built on the basis of this grace period. So we will see a sharp drop of maybe 24% of feed-in tariffs next year in Germany. So I think it's going to be really, really difficult to do good projects at good margins in Germany next year. My hope is that if we are entering at a certain point of time into oversupply situation 2011, and when there will be more and substantial pressure on pricing, that pricing can come into a range which makes projects attractive again, or second option, which we have, and this is also not unlikely to come, that manufacturers do consider German project business as a strategic business and are willing to provide specific project pricing in order to be able to make installations in Germany. Also here we have some signs that this could happen in 2011.
Very helpful. And then moving on to the U.S. market, can you elaborate on some of the more specifics about how you're going to strategize your efforts in the U.S.? If you're going to be EPC provider, how are you going to work with some of your module vendors? And also, at the same time, we see more and more project developers willing to sell their backlog to some of the module vendors. So how are you situated with all of these moving parts, and how should we think about in the longer term?
Well, in the longer term, we try to copy the business model of Phoenix with the wholesale business and the power plant business to the U.S. In the beginning, we understand that the market is highly diversified, quite complicated, to some extent bureaucratic, that we are concentrating on the large-scale project business. What we try to do there, and I think this fits well to the point which you raised in this moment, is there can be EPC work which we're doing in the framework of a tendering process, like what we do in Germany. And I think we have experienced guys there understanding how the EPC business in the U.S. works. And we're also discussing with some of our module vendors to cooperate, or other modules vendors to cooperate on existing projects. So we can also try to provide our services and our know-how as an EPC contractor to some of the module vendors. The issue of project rights acquisition or backlog acquisition, this is also very concrete. We are talking to some guys who are doing project development work in the U.S., and it's also very likely that we're taking over project rights, similar to what we're doing in Europe, and trying to set up a financial construct which allows us to sell this project to financial investors. So very similar to what we do in Europe, however, under very different conditions as far as financing of this project is concerned.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Satya Kumar from Credit Suisse. May we have your question, please?
Hi, this is Mahip on behalf of Satya Kumar. My question first on the prices which you have mentioned will be flat in 2H. Is that only for crystalline silicon panels, or would that be for the thin film panels as well for installation?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, no general, there's no general rule. We have many of our suppliers who do not work in three-field installations, so for them it's not an issue. We see some splitting the pricing between project business and components and systems business. And as an average, I see prices are flat or slightly going down. So it's not a general rule which can be made on a 2H pricing situation for ground-mounted systems.
And you mentioned that you're seeing wafer constraints from players and down upstream. So is that affecting the delivery in any way, or any constraints on module deliveries you're seeing?
Well, we are not directly involved in wafer supply. We only hear it and we read it, and we understand that some of our suppliers have problems in sourcing their material in order to get the projects out and send them to Europe and to Phoenix, which is mainly in some cases due to the wafer issues. So we are indirectly involved in that situation, and I'd mentioned that already earlier, that we try to work around the situation when we see delays in delivery or a shift in products. This is, by the way, a work which we have also done very intensively in the first half 2010, where the internal sales of Phoenix spent a hell of an amount of time in order to change the customer orders to the products, the new products which have been offered by the manufacturer. I expect a similar development also in the second half.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Paul Lemming from Soleil Securities, may we have your question, please?
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. Two questions. First, I'm curious what your guesstimate is for where German installations came in for the first half of the year. I know we're still waiting on June data, but I'd just be curious where you do believe first half installation levels came in at. And second, kind of tied into that, I'd just be interested in your thoughts on the willingness, the appetite in Germany to sustain a 7 to 8 gigawatt level of installation for a number of years. Is there some level of installations that you think could trigger a move towards some type of fixed cap, rather than just a reliance on the feed-in tariff reductions to try and control the growth of the market? Thank you.
Okay. Well, the figures H1, they are already clear a little bit, because official data is only available till the end of May, but there was also some indication from the agency who is doing research on the registrations that probably 1.7 gigawatt may have been registered in June, which then would lead to a total H1 volume of 3.4 gigawatts. There's always some uncertainties, because we see a spillover of registrations into particular months, which do not reflect the real installation taking place in Germany. As an example, we have seen an enormous amount of registration in December 2009, but by far this were not the real installations and the connections to the grid. This was basically a spillover from previous months, so that means the numbers of the previous months were not correct, and the registrations took place in December. We have seen in January a development which had a similar effect, very high installations, or let's say registrations in January, which did not reflect the real installation volume. So obviously there was a spillover from 2009, and the big question is now, have all those registrations now been made in June, or will there be the spillover into July, which normally needed to be accounted to June? So that's some uncertainty. At the end of the day, let's stay with the 3.4. That's really a big market anyway. Let's double it in order to come to the 2010 value. Let's end up between 6 and 7 gigawatt as an assumption. I know there are assumptions up to 10 gigawatts on the market. I don't know where this 6.6 gigawatt should come from in the second half 2010. I so don't see the demand for that. So I think that's a little bit overly optimistic. And your question is, what is the accepted installation volume in Germany? Two comments on that. First, the revised EEG allows for market volumes up to 6.5 to 7.5 gigawatt, and this is reflected in the feed-in tariff cuts. So above 6.5 gigawatts, the government has already foreseen an additional cut by 13%, which then would extend to 7.5 gigawatt, but there is no additional cut starting with 7.5. So in the mind of the politicians who made the law, 7.499 gigawatt in Germany should be an accepted value volume. So that shouldn't cause any reaction because it doesn't surpass the assumption of the politicians. Going forward into 2011 and also the years to come, I think that we have seen the peak of German market development now. That's the guess, at least for today. The market is so high now. If you're talking about, let's say, 6 or 7 gigawatts, we're talking about, well, in terms of gigawatts and watts, the installation of 6 or 7 nuclear power plants. It's not equivalent, I know this, but just to give an indication about which volume we're talking about. We're talking about more than 1% more adding up to photovoltaic electricity supply into the German grid. In the meantime, we are talking about peak values in Germany between around 14% in July during noon, which has been contributed by photovoltaic. So I think we have achieved a market size in Germany where we should be glad if this market size even continues at 5 gigawatts going forward into 2020, 2030. Then we will see a huge market volume in Germany and large installations and also a large contribution of photovoltaic to power plant, to electricity supply. I think we will stay flat in Germany for the next years, maybe a slight reduction, and I believe that foreign markets are going to grow.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. So we are almost at the end of the conference call, so I suggest the last question and then we close the call.
And the last question comes from Michael Tartheimer from UniCredit. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. One question is relating to prices for 2011. You said in terms of your contract for 2011, you have already secured substantial price cuts. Could you please explain to us what do you mean by substantial? And the other one is also in terms of the outlook for 2011, in terms of Germany, you already elaborated 1 minute ago about that. I mean, we have so much installations now in Germany that we are really seeing increasing volatility in terms of electricity network and the supply. Are you not concerned about this?
Well, to your first question, what's substantial? I think substantial price reductions 2011 are those price reductions which help us to compensate the feed-in tariff cuts and help us to maintain the IRRs of the end customer at the level of H2 2010 and thus form the basis for a continuous market development going forward into 2011. I think that's substantial from my point of view.
Okay.
At least it helps to grow the German roof-mounted business. The difficulties on growing or maintaining the German ground-mounted business I've explained also a couple of minutes ago.
Mm.
If you see a similar market in 2011 as far as grid reaction is concerned, yes, you're right. I think we are entering into a phase where the perception of photovoltaic installation is getting more and more important and more visible. Very often, or let's say standard critics to photovoltaics is that they say, oh, you're consuming so much of differential cost and you're only contributing 1% to the general electricity supply. That was always the basic critics. In the meantime, photovoltaics is moving very quickly into the ballpark of wind energy. And we are basically 10 years behind wind energy development. And I think maybe even that in this year and next year, the development may be even faster. We know from wind energy that we have seen these complaints from utilities over many, many years. It's impossible to have wind energy and it's too much wind energy in the grid. But nonetheless, there are a lot of offshore plants being planned at the moment. And I also know that some of the northern German utilities have up to 70% wind electricity in their grid. And we also know that we're more and more facing negative electricity prices. So on the Leipzig Stock Exchange or Electricity Exchange, EEX, you know that, more than 20 days of negative pricing have occurred in the previous years. And also this year we have seen, I think, also more than 10 days of negative pricing, which is an indication, first of all, that obviously the utilities don't have the conventional electricity plants under control, because that should reduce electricity production. That's one thing. But second, it also shows that these high volumes of your renewable energy into the grid obviously seem to work for the time being. Midterm and long term, I definitely see that we have to revise the grids, that we have to invest in the utility grids, because we need to make it more transparent from country to country. We still have a situation where we have to face very national electricity grids, and we don't have European-wide electricity grids, so the European Commission has to work on that particularly, and we have to make sure that in the future we can transport wind energy from the North Sea, if needed, to Greece, or let's say solar electricity from any part in Europe to different parts. So there's a lot of work to do on the electricity grids in order to make them really smart, and this is not the case for the time being.
But you see it more as a medium-term issue, and you think short-term we could easily see another 6 or 7 gigawatts in 2011 without any problem?
There was a study a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I think, stating that 30 gigawatts of PV can easily be absorbed by the grid without making any modifications, because PV electricity can then just replace the peak load.
Okay, thank you.
And we are still far away from 30 gigawatts.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'd like to conclude the call here. Thank you very much for your attention, and goodbye from my side.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This will conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation. Goodbye and have a good time.